Let me invite you to repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Creator God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, we approach Your throne of grace again, and it's with thankfulness in our hearts that we can come just as we are, and we can share our joys, our sorrows, our needs with You, and that You would listen. We thank You, Father, for this, that we could share our declaration with You. We want to be like Jesus. We ask now as we continue our worship this morning that You'd be with me as I bring the message. May each one of our hearts be tender, and that it would grow and be like You. Thank You, Father, for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. My sermon title this morning, Are You Ready for Jesus to Come? You know, as we're studying our Sabbath school lessons, Paul speaking to the people of Thessalonica, and of course, he's sharing with them the hope that Jesus would come soon. And all these people were looking forward to that grand day when Jesus was going to come. And of course, that is our hope as Seventh-day Adventists. And every time we participate in the communion service, we do show, the Lord's death until He comes. Let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to John's Gospel, John chapter 13. My subject this morning, Are You Ready for Jesus to Come? Our lesson, our scripture reading this morning is within the context of the first coming, but it holds up the hope of the second coming. Now before, this is John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from the world to the Father, having loved His own who were with Him in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel with which He was girded. Jesus understood, as we look at the text, as we read the text, Jesus understood that His time had come. His ministry on earth was about to be finished, and it was Passover time. I remember another Passover that Jesus was very much connected with when He was 12 years of age. Remember how they went down to Jerusalem for the Passover? And of course, as Jesus participated in that Passover, He began to understand, even as a boy, what His calling, what His ministry was all about. Remember, He was with the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, and He began to unfold to them about His work. And they marvel at Him because there was a boy of 12 and the knowledge that He was sharing with them. But yet 3.5 years, or yet 30, what is not quite 30, 20 years later, here's Jesus. He's come to the time that His ministry was going to finish, and the people still didn't comprehend or understand Him completely. Christ, we're told in the spirit of prophecy, that Christ was standing at a point of transition between two economies under two great festivals. He, the spotless Lamb of God, was about to present himself as a sin offering, and he would bring to an end the system of types and ceremonies that for 4,000 years had pointed to his death. And of course, we're talking about the religious economy. All Israel, their whole focus was around the sanctuary system. And of course, the sanctuary system involved the sacrifices, and these sacrifices pointed to his death. And of course, it pointed to the time of the Messiah who was going to come. And now Messiah had come, and the people had not recognized it. And he's about to die. The national festival of the Passover of the Jews was about to pass away forever. And the Passover that they celebrated from year to year, it commemorated the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And as God had directed the children of Israel, that year by year, as they participated in the Passover, and the children should ask the meaning of the Passover, they were to tell the story how God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And in my imagination, with sanctified imagination, I can see these boys and girls, as they listen to the graybeards, as they listen to their parents tell them about Israel's deliverance, and as they shared these miracles, how God had worked on their behalf, how he had fed them in the wilderness all these years, how he cared for them, how the Red Sea opened. My, it must have kept these children on the edge of their seats as Israel's history had been repeated and the goodness of God was revealed. But it just boggles my mind to see here was Messiah in their midst, and they didn't know it. The teachers of the law, the learned men, the Pharisees, the scribes who meticulously copied the scriptures, understood the scriptures, read the scriptures, here was Messiah in their midst, and they missed it. As Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples that night, no doubt his heart yearned to share with the disciples that his ministry was ending, but there was so much he wanted to teach them. Even at that last Passover, there was hardness of heart between the brethren. They were grumbling. They were at odds with each other. Because during that last week, Jesus was talking about, his kingdom. He talking about, who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And they were all vying for that place to sit next to Jesus on his throne. But Messiah came and they didn't understand because of some preconceived ideas about the coming of the Messiah who was going to liberate them from Roman, the bondage of Rome. They missed some of the most important truths that Jesus was wanting to teach. His first coming as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. It seems like it was just a few shepherds that understood. When he was about ready to finish his ministry, it seems like no one understood. So, as he ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in his place the service that was to be a memorial of his great sacrifice. This wonderful deliverance of his sacrifice was to be kept fresh in the minds of the people about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And now Jesus directs us. every time that we participate in the communion service, we would take time to tell our children, to tell those with inquiring minds about the great love that Jesus has for humanity and the sacrifice that he made that all of us might live. This ordinance of the communion is to be celebrated till he should come in power and glory the second time. And this message of his great sacrifice was the means by which his great work was not only to be kept fresh in our minds, but it was to go out and tell others about the soon coming of Jesus. Jesus says, into all the world, go into all the world and prepare a people to meet God. Go into all the world, it tells us in Matthew 28. Preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. Can you imagine the responsibility, the privilege that is ours to be co-workers with the Father in heaven, co-workers with God, to prepare the world for Messiah to come the second time? Jesus, for 2,000 years, Jesus has been waiting for his people to finish the work. From Christ Object Lessons, page 69, we read, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it forth the sickle, because the harvest has come. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come and claim them as his own. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 12. When all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. End of the quote. Every time we participate in the communion service, it's an opportunity to move forward by faith and hasten that glad day when Jesus is going to come. As Jesus washed away that night at that Passover supper, as Jesus washed away the alienation from the hearts of the 12 disciples, and do you know what they did? You know, Judas went out and hanged himself, but these other 11 took the message to the then known world. Wow. And it is our responsibility to take the message of the second coming of Messiah to the then known world in which we live. The communion service points us to the second coming, and it was designed to keep vivid in our minds that Jesus is coming again. Unspeakably precious to the disciples was the thought, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Now, with sanctified imagination, I can imagine every time they washed each other's feet from that time forward, they looked forward to the hastening of that glad day. Would this be the day? Ere the sin, the alienation, the hatred has been washed away, could he come today? And as we participate in that service, we again have an opportunity to hasten that glad day when Jesus would come. From Steps to Christ, page 27, here's another beautiful gem. It says, in dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible. And beholding this love, the heart is impressed. The conscience is aroused, and the soul is led to inquire, what is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of its victim? He who beholds the Savior's matchless love will be elevated in thought, purified in heart, and transformed in character. God's men, God's women, God's boys and girls, transformed in character, and we will be a light to the world. We will reflect that mysterious love, a love that is incomprehensible, but by beholding this love, it leaves an impression upon the heart. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. While we were His enemies, He died for us. Can we do any less? Can't we ask for a divine appointment each day to be able to share Jesus with someone in our family, in our community, at work? By His grace, we ask for these opportunities and they will come. As we give out our little bookmarks or give out a track, it's an opportunity for them to know Jesus. And as we partake in these emblems this morning, we too seek a cleansing of heart. Like David of old, who prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." That should be our prayer this morning, that God would create in us clean hearts, clean hands, clean minds. We would be like Jesus and hasten that glad day when He comes in the clouds of glory.